away back in 1971, on the 15th of February. That's very significant. It's the day after Valentine's Day, and of course there have been a lot of young men at that stage penniless because they've been buying flowers and jewellery and meals and all kinds of things. And so on the day after Valentine's Day, back in 1971, this little coin made its first appearance in the UK monetary system. A wonderful little coin it is too. You might have difficulty seeing this. So what I have done is this. I'll put that to the side and I'll bring out my big 1p piece. Okay? So let me show you the one that I have prepared earlier. Okay? Is that a little bit better? How's that? Okay. Do you want to see the size of the purse that this came out of? And this is the real thing because look, there she is on the back. My mother. No, I'm only joking. The Queen. So there we have it. The 1p piece. And hopefully you can see this a little bit more clearly because I want to look at this side of the coin in particular and I want to, you to glean some lessons and we want that thought, the giving of your all to God, to rise to the top. This little coin is a most noteworthy coin. On this, it's been on the go for about 50 years and on this side here we have the profile of the Queen. This side has changed over the years about 4 times. I suppose about every 10 years, the Queen is getting a little bit older, and they wanted to put something a little bit more up to date on this side of the coin. These little coins are really remarkable because on a recent count, it has been determined that there are 11.5 million of these little coins in circulation, plus 2 or 3 down the back of my sofa that we'll have to have a little look for. Every penny counts. We're going to come back to this one here in a minute or two, so keep thinking about that one. This little 1p piece went through a very turbulent period in the mid-1990s. What happened was this. Originally, this coin was made out of solid copper. The Treasury decided that. Things obviously must have been economically good at the time, and they were made out of solid copper. But then in the mid-1990s, the value of all metals, gold, silver, right down to the likes of copper, soared, went sky high. And suddenly the Treasury realized that this little coin, because it has a weight in it, this little coin was actually worth more in scrap metal than it was on face value. You could take your 1p piece down to the scrap merchant and he would give you 1.5p for it as scrap metal and it was only worth 1p in the shops. So there was a panic and the Treasury decided no more full-blown copper. They were just copper-coated from that time on. So these are just little insignificance that I want to pass on to you and I hope you remember. This little coin also, it only has got a legal tender of the value of 20p. Just couldn't get the word there. These big words catch me out sometimes. It only has the legal value or the legal tender value of 20 pence. And what I mean by that is this. If you were to take 20 of these down to the shop and the bar of chocolate was 20p, you could hand them over, take your bar of chocolate, and the transaction would be done. If you were to go down to the shop and the bar of chocolate happened to be 25p and you had 25 of these, the shopkeeper could say, no, you've gone over the 20p limit. They don't have to take all those pennies. But if the shopkeepers around here are like the shopkeepers down our way, they would take the whole arm and leg and everything off you. So don't really take any word of that. But that is just a by the by. This little coin has a wonderful design on the back. And I want to touch on this design. And it was designed by a man by the name of Christopher Ironside. He was an artist. And I don't know if there was a competition or not, but his design was used on the back. It has been on the back of this coin for 37, 38 years, and they've only changed it in recent years. So hopefully you will still have a few of these ones here. And I want you to go home and have a little look through and try and remember what I'm going to be telling you tonight, because it is important that you retain what we have to say. Back to this little one here. Why is this one in a little baggie? Well, there's a reason for that. Do not write this little coin off. Because this here, in this little baggie, is an original 1971 1p piece. I couldn't get any of these. The nearest I could get was 1978. I hooked through every little drawer and every little hidey hole, and I couldn't get an original. My father-in-law, he had four of them. He keeps everything. I asked him, could I have one? And he gave me one very kindly. Didn't want it back. Fine by me. Got it all cleaned up, put it in a little baggie. Thought to myself, I can use that. I then Googled it. And I discovered that this little coin is worth at least 1,000 times its face value. So I put it in here. Okay? Very, very surprising that. Haven't told him that yet. But he doesn't need it. He's got three anyway, so he's okay. But let's get back to this message and this coin and the lessons I want to look at. There are some things on this coin, and they all begin with the letter C. Okay, so we're going to use a little bit of alliteration to make it as easy as possible. And we're going to look at least five or six things that begin with the letter C to get that thought uppermost that we ought to give our all to God, like this dear lady. The first thing about this coin is this. It's not square and it's not triangular. It's not oblong. It's not any other shape, but circular. I love circular things. I love a circular plate, especially with lots of food on it. I really like that. I like a little bit of circular sunshine because there's the warmth of it and the enjoyment of it. No clouds. I love a nice circular face with a smile on it. But this circle reminds me of the planet that we live on, the world. And it reminds me of that wonderful verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he gave his all for us. We ought to give our all to him. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. Let's move on very quickly. You'll notice also that on this little coin, there are two chains down both sides. That's the second word, chains. And these chains remind me very simply of sin. And sin is just like chains lapped about us. Now, very subtly, in the early stages, the old devil will put very light chains upon you. And those chains will be loose that you'll have a certain amount of freedom. But as the years encroach, those chains will get heavier and they'll bind you more and more and more, and you will find yourself bound and chained and fettered by sin, your very own sin. Those things that you thought would bring you great freedom, great happiness, great joy. But I thank God whenever I read this precious book, I read of a Savior who can break every chain and set the prisoner free. Do you know anything of that freedom tonight? Or are you dabbling in an empty freedom, a false freedom, not realizing that the chains of sin are gradually pulling in around you so that you will be trapped in bondage like the children of Israel of a bygone era? You know, I can remember as a little boy, my dad would bring home a lot of Christian publications, the old Revivalists and all the old magazines and the Truth for Youth and all those old booklets. And I used to love reading the pictures. I was a great picture man and still am today. Although it didn't work too well in college, I was drawing pictures. I always thought a picture was worth 1,000 words during the exam, but this wasn't happening. But anyway, there was one little booklet that really stood out and stays with me to this day. Just a picture that really grasped my imagination. And it was a picture of an old bottle of booze. And it had a pair of legs on it. And it had arms and a facial expression all on the bottle. And it was running. And in one hand it had a huge whip. And in the other hand it had strands and strands of chains. And behind that old bottle of booze, there were people all chained. Some were very loose, others were very tight, because that's how the devil does it. And that bottle was running towards a precipice. And no one could break free because they were chained to that particular sin. Maybe it's something else that's chaining you, holding you. It only takes one sin for you to be absolutely bound. But there's one in this book who can break every chain. The Lord Jesus has the power to do that for you today. Let's move on very quickly. The next thing I want you to notice, if you can see on this big 1p coin, is this thing in the middle. Now, I know that looks like a potato waffle and you're all starting to get a bit hungry at this stage, but it's not. That is a closed gate. There's the third C, okay? Stretch that one out a little bit, but it's a closed gate. It's a very special type of gate. You'll not find that gate on the side of this building, and you'll not find that gate at a farm. You'll not find it in your back garden. That is a very special type of gate, and it is closed. It's called a portcullis. Now, whenever I was a little boy in school, we went on trips. I love school trips. Terrific. Really good. Get away from school. Hooray. And we used to get very excited if we were going to a castle. Because I just had a wild imagination whenever I was a little boy. And I also had a big plastic castle at home. And get to a real castle, I could reenact all those things I was doing on the plastic castle. And so we would have went away to a castle. And of course, if I seen a suit of armor, that was just a bonus. And the ramparts and the cannons, getting told off, get off those cannons, what are you doing? But there was always this gate. It's called a portcullis. And it's a big, heavy gate made out of strong wood and iron. And of course, when the enemy was coming, the gate would just vroom, close. And you were on the outside. And this gate reminds me of how we stand before God in our sin. We have closed ourselves out. We are on the outside when we're in our sin. And we have put a barrier between us and God, and it cannot be broken. And I don't know how it is with you tonight or how you stand with the Lord, but maybe you are in your sin and there's a barrier at this moment between you and God. You don't have His smile of blessing upon you, and you don't have His grace and His favor in your life. You are indeed, as we touched on today earlier, the enemy of God, and you are on the outside. And you ought to be on the inside. And you're in danger. But just as sure and as quick as this gate closes down, God in mercy is willing for those who are repentant to withdraw and pull that gate up and invite you to come in to the royal court. What an invitation. What mercy. What goodness. To we who are outside, rebels and the enemy of God. That's the third thing. Let's move on very quickly. Very hard to see, but at the very top, there's a little cross there. Oh, we could dwell on that all evening. It's good to get to the cross. What's the message of the gospel without the cross? Oh, let's touch on that cross for a few moments tonight. The place where our Savior died. It's a place where God's people delight, but it's a place of difficulty for them. Because as we in our mind's eye see our Savior on that cross, we know that we put Him there. Every sin, every wickedness, every vile action, thought, or deed had to be met there. And He suffered in our place. Sin will always be met and dealt with in one of two ways. To be eternally cast away from God forever because you've rejected Him. That's the punishment that we bring upon ourselves. Or there is the other alternative, to look to the punishment that was met on our Savior, to trust in Him, to go out free, knowing that He has paid the price for us. The cross of Calvary. What a place. What a place. Think of what happened on that cross. How they nailed Him hand and foot. Hands that wrought miracles. Feet that walked dusty roads from village to village. You know, if they only wanted to have mocked Him and made a little of Him, they would have given Him a crown of feathers. But they gave Him a crown of thorns. And He was pierced and He suffered and He bled and He opened not His mouth. And here's the wonder. it pleased God to do that. How can I explain that to you tonight? I don't know why. But he did it. And yet we in our lives and in our weakness, we sin against him day and night. And we do it easily. Because we have forgotten the place called Calvary. Have you found yourself there? Have you kneeled there? Have you left your sin there? Have you trusted in the Savior? There's a little cross here in this coin. He gave his all for us. We ought to give our all to him, like this dear woman. Let's move on. Just below that little cross, there is a crown. That's the next one, a crown. We're getting through this right. You're going to get your supper early tonight. A crown. We know that our brother Paul doesn't wear a crown. And your minister doesn't wear a crown. And the organist doesn't wear a crown. I can go around you all. There's none of you wear crowns. Maybe brother Billy, maybe he has one hid away somewhere. I don't know. But it's the stuff of royalty. I'm going to let you into a secret. Whenever I was a little boy, going to school, they used to have a nativity play every year. And I could never get into the nativity play. I thought I was a great actor. And I could hardly even get into the choir. They put me way at the back. And so I tried and I tried and I tried. And I got to about P5. I got into the nativity play. I was one of the sheep. And so I was determined to be the best sheep ever in the nativity play. I was going out into the field looking at all the sheep to see how it was all done and how I could do the thing right. And I must have done a good job. For the following year, I was back in the play, and I wasn't a sheep this time. I was one of the wise men. That was some typecasting, wasn't it? And I had a line to say, and it was simply this. We are looking for the king. Was it King Herod? Was it King David? Was it King Solomon? No, none of these things. It was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ. Even as a little babe in the manger, those men in wisdom, that's why they were wise men, knew that they were coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But here's the question. Who is the King of your life today? Have you bowed the knee? Have you made him your king? Do you serve him? Are you just giving him lip service and you're looking to the world and you're trying to play two people and you're trying to ride two horses and you're going to fall flat and it's going to destroy your life? You see, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. I think we have one more left. Yes, we have. Down at the bottom, we have a one here. And with this, we're finished. And this last thought is this. It's a most wonderful Christian belief, Christian doctrine, Christian teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And there's no other way. And there's no other message. And there's no other gospel. The little chorus goes, one way God said. I like that bit. To get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. No other way. No other way, no other way to go. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Are you trying another way today? Because if you are, you're a thief and a robber to climb up some other way. That's all you are. You'll never be in heaven. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. That's clear. No other way. I am the truth. There was no lie in that statement. I am the way. I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's our Heavenly Father. And the place is heaven. This little woman gave her all because I think she had an insight to all that God had done for her. And tonight you need to come the same way. And we need to read of you that you gave your all to the Lord and trusted in him, or we'll never see you in heaven. You'll never be there. You'll be lost for all eternity. Remember this little coin. Remember the lessons. But remember, it's your all. You need to surrender your all. And by the way, the Lord's not looking for your money, because two little mites wouldn't have done anything for the Lord's work, really. The Lord's looking for you to be fully surrendered. He's looking for you to bow the knee. He's looking for you to come humbly. And you need to do that. Oh, that you would tonight, and give him your all. We'll have a little word of prayer and we'll hand back over to your minister. Dear Lord, we ask of thee just to settle thy word within our hearts, from even these simple thoughts and this little penny. We pray, O Lord, that thou will do a good work, a matter that will have a conclusion of eternal benefit to those who are out of Christ. For we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.